This is Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, the show that talks all things outdoors in Paul Bunyan Country, or as we like to call it, paradise. Matt Brewer is on the show today. He's been out in the woods getting his clients some bear. We'll talk all about bear hunting and all kinds of other hunting opportunities and even a little bit of fishing with Matt Brewer of North Country Guide Services. Country Outdoors, sponsored by Visit Bemidji. Well, it's bear season, so it's time to check in with Matt Brewer of North Country Guide Service. One of his specialties, of course, are bear hunts here in Paul Bunyan Country. Matt, thanks for coming back on the show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So we predicted, or I shouldn't say we, you predicted, and other people who know things about bear, that it was going to be a spectacular year this year, simply because with the drought, a lot of the food in the forest wasn't happening, and so, those bait stations would be really, really popular amongst bear. Is that proving to be the case?
It's kind of a strange thing. I almost had to eat my words because everything was going the way it was supposed to. Everything was going as predicted. We had bait stations absolutely getting crushed, and they were getting hit at all different times a day, and we had upwards of like 7 different bears on some of the stations, so it was looking like a banner year, and everything was falling into place as far as the prediction went. I thought it was just going to be knockout, lights out, but I hadn't dropped any bait into the woods at that time when I spoke to you, and I hadn't really seen many bears that I could actually, stop and take a look at. And we dropped bait, everything was golden, but the bears looked way healthier than I would have expected. Like, some were extremely fat, visibly healthy on camera. And then about 3 days before the season started, we got some wind and a couple cool nights, and the acorns fell, and everything started to change. And I got really nervous because we had baits from basically the day we put them out until 3 days before, that were being hit multiple times a day, and all of a sudden they weren't being hit at all. We had some really, really good stations that were near oaks that were still producing plenty, and we were lucky enough to harvest 2 bears on opening night and nothing on the second night. And I was like, okay, this is not the way the season is supposed to be going. But we had rain, we had some wind, and then finally the third and fourth nights were dead calm, beautiful outside, and, the day was calm, and I figured the acorns didn't really fall that much that day, and everything kind of pieced together, and clients killed a bunch of bears on those days, and all of a sudden we found ourselves tagged out for all the clients, and everybody was going home, and I hadn't gotten any sleep, and I had 8 million pieces of dirty clothes and all this cleanup to do, and realized, holy cow, that went really fast and happened in a hurry. So I feel like we got really lucky on a couple of bears, but everything really turned around from what was actually looking like kind of a mediocre start / me being concerned. But my prediction is that once the natural food became available, since there hadn't really been much for natural food out there, that they found an opportunity to really gorge and enjoy themselves on a food that they really love, and they took advantage of it and started skipping out on the other baits. So
when do you, is there a restriction on the times you can hunt? Is it like deer hunting?
As far as daytime, sun up to, we don't really do morning hunts, but in the evenings you can hunt until half hour after sunset.
Okay.
But realistically, you don't really make it to that mark anyway. You're hunting a black animal in the depths of the forest, it gets pretty dark like 10 minutes before before actual twilight. So most hunters were texting like, I'm ready to get down. And I'm like, you still got 8 minutes. No, I'm nervous. I'm ready to get down. So
okay. So you tagged them out, which is a big relief for you. And you mentioned early they seemed healthier than you thought they would. Have you determined why that is?
I don't know what their food sources were for sure. When we started running baits and we were getting a lot of bears in, and they start, you know, they're kind of living in the baits, so they use it as their bathroom, their kitchen, their bedroom. And a lot of the scat piles were filled with corn. So I could tell, you know, they were living in, some of them were living in nearby cornfields or traveling a fair distance to get to cornfields. But then as the season kind of went on with baiting, you know, it's almost 3 weeks of baiting, and actually I'm going to bait again after I get off the phone with you, but you know, you really kind of start to see a little bit of what they ate. but realistically, I saw like normal scat piles where I couldn't really decipher anything, you know, a few berry seeds, and I assumed it was from blackberries, and maybe some like wild plums and stuff like that, but otherwise it was corn. So I can't imagine that the farmers around here were real happy with the crop circles made by the bears, but they were finding food and not sure what else they were eating. And there's a lot of common misconceptions about bears, like either people think they just eat garbage out of garbage cans or grease from their from their grill, or they think that, you know, they eat fruits and are kind of herbivores, but they'll happily eat meat. So there's a possibility that bears this year were feeding on meat somewhere, and they actually take a lot of fawns in the spring, so they could have been quite healthy off of eating things like that. So you never know. I've always joked around that I would love to sit down with a bear and have a conversation and ask the whys and wheres and whens and hows, but obviously that's not going to happen.
Not on this realm of reality, you know. Right. Maybe someday.
Yep.
So Matt, more baiting, of course, and got more guides. And how long does this go? Does this go to the end of September?
It actually goes into October.
It does.
Okay. And I'm not sure on the final day, because we typically only run the first 2 weeks for clients, and then the only reason I'm still baiting is my wife hasn't killed a bear yet.
Oh.
Between work and kiddos and her helping out with all the client bears and stuff like that, she's only got to sit a few times, and she had one come in and scent her and was sitting back kind of snapping its gums, getting a really deep whiff. You could, you know, she could tell it was just sitting back smelling her, waiting for her to leave, and sure enough, she got down, and the bear came in like 28 minutes later, and that's kind of been the story for her. And the story for her has also been she's been getting in too late because of other obligations. So
sure,
things out of her control. The one day we got her in the stand at like 3:30 and the bait had been hit, and I pulled the card and we bumped a bear out of there when we went in, and then it didn't come back till after dark. And then another day we got her in and there had been a bear in an hour earlier. So had she been able to, you know, do normal vacation time person hours, she would have been tagged out long ago. But I think she's excited to give her a shot this weekend. So,
and based on what you're seeing from what your clients have taken, what are we seeing as far as ages? Is there a lot of young bears out there? Or are they mainly older bears? What are you seeing?
No, that was something strange this year. Clients did harvest some young bears, but from what we saw on camera, I saw more really mature and big bears this year on camera than normal. On a normal year, you know, we might say, oh, there's three really good shooter bears on these five stations, or, you know, just throwing numbers out there. But it seemed like almost every bait station we had out had one big target bear. We had one that was easily over 500, Nobody harvested, and that's actually the one my wife is still after. And we know it's over 500 because we compared it to pictures of a 515 a client harvested 2 years ago in the same station, and this bear is bigger. And then we've got a couple that look like they're in that 300, 350 class, which are really actually quite big bears for Minnesota. The average bear taken in Minnesota is less than 120 pounds. So these are, you know, really mature, nice big bears. And we had a couple taken that were really nice ones. No giants, but some really respectable, big, mature boars. And then, like I said, there were a few young ones that just kind of, two of the bears harvested I had never seen on camera, and it just so happened they walked in like that day. So there's a lot of bears in the woods.
Okay.
If you have people shooting bears you've never seen on camera and you've been baiting for almost 3 weeks, that tells you there's a lot more bears out there than you realize. So.
Matt Brewer, my guest. His clients are out looking for bear right now. We've got all kinds of hunting things to cover with Matt before we're all said and done. This is Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
Hi, this is Dick Beardsley with Dick Beardsley Fishing Guide Service. Are you looking to plan a fishing trip? Look no further, as Bemidji, Minnesota is your year-round destination for walleyes, pike, muskie, bass, perch, crappie, panfish, and more. With over 400 fishing lakes within a 25-mile radius of Bemidji, come take a cast at becoming a fishing legend. While you're on your fishing adventure, come take a picture with the historic Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. Discover the first city on the Mississippi, Bemidji, one step further.
Welcome back to Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. Matt Brewer of North Country Guide Service, my guest. He's guiding bear hunts right now. And Matt, you know the biology way more than I do, and I know I'm doing an apples to oranges comparison here, but, you know, in fishing, you know, there's actual slot limits, and or, you know, most people know they want to keep the walleyes of a certain, you know, length and age in the water because they're the producers of the next generation. Is there a type of bear that's best to harvest for that same reason?
From an edible standpoint, you know, your smaller bears always taste better.
Okay.
I've never had someone harvest a really big bear, or I've never harvested, or family's never harvested a big bear and said, man, this bear tastes the best out of any bear I've ever shot. And the bigger ones usually just don't taste quite as good. And that kind of goes with everything. Like,
yeah,
young geese, young ducks, young deer. You know, there's a reason why people shoot a smaller animal and they say, oh, that one's going to eat great, because they do.
Yeah. 15 to 18 inch walleyes.
Yeah, but there's a lot of factors that run into a bear hunt too. Like, you know, everyone wants a rug or a shoulder mount, and for every person that's different. You know, if you're looking for a really nice rug, you're not going to want to shoot a yearling or a 2.5-year-old. You want something in that kind of magic zone between 2.5 and 4.5, and you want that bear to eat right. And I mean, there's so many different things, like to have a bear with a nice coat. So if I had to pick, everybody would shoot like 175 to 225 pound bear.
Okay.
They're not too hard to handle. They taste great. They make a great rug. They're big enough that you can make a shoulder mount. But my dad shot one that was pretty small, like 120, 125 maybe. We didn't weigh it, but that bear, you know, it was just a special bear. My dad hadn't killed a bear in a long time after, you know, bear hunting basically when he was my age. He bear hunted every year and guided hunters, and he took a long break due to his heart, and he decided to come sit in one of our leftover stations and was lucky enough to have a smaller one walk through. So, you know, that bear is really special, just as special as somebody else shooting a 300 pounder to him. So,
sure.
And we're all going to feast off of it. It's going to be a great tasting bear. So.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, when fall hits, all of a sudden there's so many hunting seasons. How can you choose? And then they threw a couple of extras at us, an early teal and an early goose season this year. Were you even able to even think about participating in that?
I actually tried participating in early goose, baiting as much as we were, kind of running all over the county and seeing geese in fields. So, and I was on vacation for a part of it, so I'm like, if I can get a permission for that field, I'm going to wake up early in the morning, me and Tate are going to go goose hunting, and then I'll get bear hunters in later. And I got shot down on every field I tried for, so every field was either spoken for or already had family members hunting it or whatnot. But I didn't even know there was an early teal season until people started talking about it, so I didn't partake in that. And early goose, I typically get out a time or two, but just didn't work out this year. Didn't really try too hard, but every time we found a field, we asked, and it just didn't pan out. But it's not over yet. There's a possibility we could still find something.
All right. Hey.
Yeah.
I was just curious. I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody in the DNR about this. Do you know why they decided to have an early teal season?
It's been talked about for for many years, and a lot of other states offer it. And I think finally Minnesota just kind of broke down and said, all right, we're doing it this year. I don't know exactly the inner workings and wasn't in the room on any of these decisions, but I think that's kind of how it went. There are a lot of other places that offer an early teal season, because by the time actual duck season opens here in Minnesota, a lot of the teal are already blown out. So, mm-hmm. And it gives hunters an opportunity to get out earlier, and it's just a really good thing to have. The only concern with it is people misidentifying ducks. It's really, you know, if you're a hardcore duck hunter, you know what a teal looks like when it's coming into the decoys. And they did try to combat that a little bit by teal season. You can't shoot until sunrise instead of earlier. So that helps you identify the ducks, obviously, if it's getting lighter. But that's really the only downfall. I mean, it's beneficial to everybody in every other way, and it's really good for the state. And we were kind of late to the ball game as far as teal season went. A lot of other states were doing it, and it provides a lot of great opportunity for some really good shooting, because there's a lot of teal around early season, and then, like I said, by opener, a lot of them have blown out, and you know, you might only see a few teal during some openers in Minnesota. So,
okay, this seems really unlikely to possibly happen, but theoretically, is it possible if you happen to be out there at the right time of year when wild rice harvest is still on and you're at a spot where the wild rice is good, can you harvest rice, fish for bass, and hunt ducks at the same time? Is that legal?
Yeah, think about this. Yes, I think that is perfectly legal. You could literally do that from a canoe sitting in one patch of wild rice. I mean, you could cast out to the edge and catch bass. You could definitely hunt ducks, because lakes with wild rice around here are kind of the gem, and you're going to shoot ducks if you're sitting on the edge of of some active rice. And in between, there would be zero problem, as long as you weren't moving by motor while you're shooting. You would be perfectly legal. So yes, that is a feasible thing. And you can shoot a goose if it flew over, because we're in a water zone. So
I know people that need to try this, because they just, it'd be perfect for them.
I need to try this. It sounds great.
Okay, I want you to try that. We need to talk about it when you do.
Ricing is, that's no, like, old man's game. Well, no. It is, because a lot of older folks, that's their huge enjoyment. That's not a lazy man's game. So
no.
I don't know if I fit into that. That's hard work. Have you ever done it?
I haven't, but I've watched video. It looks like hard work.
Like, I love the outdoors, and I love everything outdoors, but I am going to buy rice from a store. Just ain't doing it.
Well, you know Rylander, so you're good. You're good in that regard.
Right. He's my right man.
Oh, man. All right, so map out your fall. We got bear hunting going on now, and I know there's a ton of other things you're going to be doing.
Yeah, well, I told my wife she's got to kill a bear before grouse opener, because once grouse opener happens, I'm not running bait, and I'm not going to be putting her in the stand, because I'm going to be walking behind the dog. So once grouse opens, we'll be hitting that really hard, and then the following weekend, woodcock opens, so that's... I think grouse opens the 18th and woodcock opens the 25th, as well as regular waterfowl season. Mm-hmm. I'm actually emceeing the goose calling contest up at Goose Festival in Middle River, Minnesota.
Your old stomping grounds?
Goose Fest. It's something everybody in Minnesota should definitely try to make it to. It's an incredible event. I'll be there for that, doing some goose and crane hunting. And then... I don't know what happens after that. I mean, I'll just chase birds really hard, sharptail, Hungarian partridge, try to do that as much as possible, and try to get the kid on as many geese and good duck shoots as possible. And then as we get later, obviously, you got fall turkey and deer, and then late season diver hunting. Looking forward to kind of all these things. And then my hunting season goes on pause until like January or early February, and I'm going to go down quail hunting in New Mexico, but last year I decided I was gonna just hit bird hunting really hard and not concentrate as hard on everything else, and it was one of my favorite falls. I think you said it at the beginning, I try to do too much, and if I can just kind of concentrate on a couple things and really just try to excel at those and enjoy myself there, then relieves me of a lot of mental turmoil and physical stress. So I'm going to kind of do that again. I'll concentrate on ducks a little more this year because Tate's so into it. And then just chase rough grouse and woodcock and sharpies and stuff like that.
This is Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. Matt Brewer of North Country Guide Service, my guest. We're talking hunting trips for the fall. Do you ever do muzzle loading?
I used to be really big into muzzleloader hunting. I actually took like a 7-year hiatus from rifle hunting because like when I was young, my dad was really into it. And like my first muzzleloader was a kit gun. So, you know, it's a kit and you put it together yourself. And the most inaccurate thing I've ever shot in my life. I always had fun with it. And we always hunted in southern Minnesota by my grandparents. And there's no shortage of deer and you're always actively making drives or pushing fences and pushing through groves and stuff. So it's a lot of shooting. Like if you have a gun that's not that accurate and you're pushing through a grove, you know, you get a shot and then obviously you have to reload. So you move on to the next grove or fence line and then you get another shot. And it was always really fun. And then I muzzle loader hunted around here for many years and always found pretty good success. But then as you know, marriage and wife starting deer hunt and then growing a family, my wife and son absolutely love, adore deer hunting. So it was getting back into rifle season and enjoying that with them. So, and I always say I'm going to sit and wait for a big buck, and we've got a lot of big bucks kind of spotted and around. Like I said, I've been driving around a lot because of bears, and I know a lot of spots where there's big deer hanging out, and realistically, I'll sit in the stand, I'll shoot the first deer I see, and I'll go back to bird hunting, and then I'll complain about how I didn't wait for a big buck. I do it every year.
Well, at least you know yourself well.
Right.
You decided you were going to take a break from guiding fish, take a little bit of time off, and then get ready for bear. Were you able to stay true to your word on that?
I was. There were a few times where the phone rang, and like Rylander was traveling a lot, and I knew he wasn't available, and a client would be like, oh man, we were really hoping to get out with you or Jason. And it's like, well, Jason said I could pull into his driveway and hook up to his boat as long as I checked in with his wife. And I never did it. I stayed true to my word. I just told clients, you know, I'm sorry that we're not available, but sent them to people like Will over at Northwoods or Matt Newell. And they, they were great. I'm glad they were available to take clients out, because I don't care if a vacationer comes here and fishes with me or with someone else. I just want them to enjoy their experience here in Bemidji, and I know some of those other guides are doing a really good job, and they were able to take these people on, so that was great. But I stayed away from it. My son hated it. He's like, can't we just go borrow Rylander's boat and go fishing? And I'm like, well, I have to go to work in an hour. And he's like, can't we fish for like 20 minutes? I'm like, no, sorry. And on days off, I just tried to enjoy myself, and it was wonderful. I'm ready to get back to it. This hiatus definitely made the heart grow fonder, and I really miss fishing, and I'm ready to get back to it now that bear's kind of winding down, but that'll only last a week, because then grouse will open, and then I'll forget about fishing again anyway.
What did you hear from the guys you know out there?
You know, it was kind of a hit or miss end of summer. I mean, everybody was catching fish, but it was like one day they would absolutely crush them, and then the next day they'd go back to the same spot, and the fish weren't there, and they'd only catch a few. I know Rylander got frustrated a couple times because his trips went really well, but he was frustrated because he loves to try to know what the fish are doing, and, you know, not being able to figure them out can be a little bit frustrating. But now I'm hearing fish are, you know, kind of moving towards their fall patterns. I'm seeing a lot of people catching big fish on jig rafts in deep water, and a lot of people enjoying the fall, early fall, late summer smallmouth bite, and muskie fishermen are really happy. So it looks like things are going very well. I just need to figure out who owes me a favor large enough to be willing to take me and my son fishing. That's what I need to figure out.
Oh, there's got to be an almost endless list, Matt.
Well, the first name is Jason, the last name is Rylander. So.
Yeah, you know, I just saw a recent picture of them. Makes me question what Rylander's all about. Have you seen that picture?
Never, ever figure that out.
That's true. I don't think the world would want to see a similar picture of me on Facebook.
Oh, was it Eel Pout Bathtub?
Yes.
Well, then you've never experienced the North Country Guide Service trail camera picture that his brother shared with us.
No.
I don't know that I should release this to the world. If you were an early follower of North Country Guide Service, you definitely saw it, because we actually posted the picture and gave away a trail camera. But Rylander, in his typical Rylander humor fashion, his brother put out a trail cam, and Jason thought it would be funny to Sasquatch by it, unclothed. So I have this picture. I don't know why I still have this picture, but it exists in my library, and it's very, very funny. And it was back in the days when he was even more grizzly and burly than he is now. So there's a lot of hair and a little bit of butt cheeks.
I don't know if I want to see that or not.
So there's more than one questionable Rylander photo out there. You just didn't know about it.
No, not until this very moment in time. And yet I'm not.
Next time you talk to him, ask him about his famous shorts phase, where he was wearing cutoff jean shorts where you could see the pockets, and those were the lucky shorts for muskie fishing.
Oh, man, that just sounds
disturbing.
Oh, my God,
he's
going to
kill me after this one.
Well, none of these things actually shock me.
That's the best part.
Oh, all right. Well, anything else going on we need to know about?
No, I mean, it's the most wonderful time of the year. I mean, if you're a fisherman, get out and get it while the getting's good. I know a lot of people are excited for ice fishing, but everybody forgets that fall fishing is probably the best.
It is.
And if you're addicted to hunting like me, if you can find time for a cast and blast, there's nothing better than that's one of the greatest things about living in the North Country is the cast and blast aspect. I mean, you can wake up in the morning and go hunt geese and fish walleyes in the afternoon, and then hunt grouse in the evening before dark. Like, you can really fill a day with a lot of special things, and we have so many options available. And yeah, it's fantastic. And the temperatures are great. Like I'm in my pajamas, but I'm in pajama pants and a sweatshirt, and I went and got the mail before you called, and it's perfect outside. Like, I wish it this were the weather every day, year round. But
do you guide for any hunting besides bear?
We do waterfowl, and we used to specialize in crane hunts, and I mean, we still would and could, but I actually sent all of our crane hunters last year and this year to a fellow guide up in Thief River Falls, just because it gets really hard for me to drive to Thief River, scout, and then put people on birds, and then, you know, come back and have to work. And just the older I get, the tougher this stuff gets, and the more intense work becomes, the harder it is to get away. And I eat up my vacation time with vacation now instead of work aside from bear season, so I don't have a lot of it sitting on the plate where I can just go, oh, I'm going to guide this, you know, this week, and I'm going to take some time off. So we do offer that, and we're still going to offer some local duck hunts, and then I think I've got one deer hunter coming this year. But we do meat hunts for deer, no trophies. But people who are struggling to tag a deer, we can always help them out. And yeah, it's busy, and then it's sit and wait for ice fishing after that.
Right. So I'm assuming you're probably booked for most of the fall hunts.
Yeah, I mean, we could still take some people, and like I said, deer, we've only got one guest coming, so we've got openings for that. But most of the people, you know, deer hunting tradition, they don't need someone, but right, we're always willing to help people out if they're looking for someone. So.
All right. Well, people want to at least see if you're available for summer hunting, and obviously ice fishing. There's probably a lot of good openings still for that. How do we get a hold of you?
The easiest way is probably, honestly, I'm backing up. I always say the easiest way is to find us at northcountryguides.com, and that is easy. But if you just throw North Country Guide Service into the Google machine, you can find pretty much everything right there now. Links to social media and everything. And otherwise, you can go to northcountryguides.com to get a hold of myself or Jason. So.
All right. He's one of the best. He's Matt Brewer of North Country Guide Service. As always, enlightening stuff. I'm taking a lot of notes about Jason Rylander, and I will use this to my advantage at some point. Matt, thanks for your time today. Good luck out there in the woods.
Thanks, Kev. Have a good one.
Well, a few reminders for you as we head into the weekend. First of all, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to the podcast at Podcast One on the PodMN app or wherever you get your podcast, so you can listen at your leisure and get some bonus coverage as well. In fact, there's some bonus coverage on today's podcast. Steve Sapaniak of Predator Guide Service talking Mille Lacs Lake pike and muskies from the waters of Mille Lacs Lake. Also, a reminder that next week is our final week of Fish in Paul Bunyan Country. So for KB101 listeners, that's all you'll have. The following week, we'll be into our weekly Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors, and that will be Thursday afternoons on KBUN Sports Radio 104.5 and Saturday mornings. And, of course, it will be podcastable as well. Our final week of Fish in Paul Bunyan Country is going to be a good one. We've got some great stuff coming up. We'll hear from Peter Janik, the tournament director of the Frank Snyder Jr. Memorial Muskie Tournament Monday. He'll recap that big event, which is running all weekend long, right here in Paul Bunyan Country waters. We've got Isaiah Hahn talking Park Rapids area fishing, and with Isaiah, most definitely some musky fishing. Steve Batson's going to talk about the Grand Rapids area and bass for the fall. And Eric Osberg will be in as well to talk Otter Tail Lake fishing. They've got the National Walleye Trail Championship coming up there at the end of the month. Also, Edie Everts, the new area fisheries supervisor out of the Bemidji office, will be in for the state of the fishery to wrap it up. But again, we will continue with some outstanding outdoor programming for you after the end of Fish in Paul Bunyan Country with a weekly Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors and on the podcast as well. Weekend's going to be great. Get out there, do some hunting, do some fishing, do some whatever you want to do, but enjoy the outdoors. We will talk to you next week. Hey, we're not done yet. As we noted just a few moments ago, we've got a podcast bonus for you today. Well, his office is Lake Mille Lacs, and that's where he's at right now. Steve Sapaniak of Predator Guide Service. How's everything at the office today?
You know, the office is doing okay. Things are a little bit slower. We're out pike fishing right now, Kevin. Started off with a nice size sucker minnow, got taken right away, and made one of the quickest dashes I've seen the sucker minnow do, with the northern hanging onto it, you know, leading the way. Unfortunately, we didn't get no hooks into that one. Had it hit a little while ago, but with the wind kicking up, Kevin, it's been a little tough. The other thing that's hurting us is we've got all that grass on the bottom of the lake has been breaking free for a month and a half, 2 months, and it should have been done with, and it's not. So every other cast, we got to take grass off. Things are looking good. The sonar shows a lot of big fish below us, big pike and muskies. Seen a lot of smallmouth bass jumping this morning. You know, but right now, Mother Nature is kicking us a little bit. We're hoping for some better results here coming up.
What seems to be the biggest issue right now?
The biggest issue is fighting that darn grass that's all over the surface. It's okay. Getting caught on our line all over. And then the other issue is the wind. You know, we've got some gusts up to 15 miles from the south. That means every part of Mille Lacs Lake is rocking and rolling. So between the combination of both of them, that's sort of keeping us from achieving our goals, let's say. You know, we're still soaking a sucker minnow, and I've got a couple of my people cast, and great people, nice people. We just need cooperation on the fish's end.
Well, you know, they're down there. It's just finding that secret formula this time, right?
Exactly. I think we're on lure change probably number 20. You know, we're mixing it up, Kevin. But that's what you got to do. You got to establish some pattern. Right now, the hit came on a Grim Reaper with three willow leaf blades. One of my people, Cody's got a baby beaver on. Tana's got the willow leaf blade. And then Gene, he's taking his turn watching the sucker minnow. So all eyes are on deck and all eyes are posted. We just need a little cooperation.
So, as we get ready for the fall bite, what are we seeing now as far as temps go on Mille Lacs? How close are we?
Well, we're getting pretty good. Right now the temperature, Kevin, is 68.6. We got started this morning, it was about 66. Water temperature in the last 5-6 days has dropped 5 degrees, which is good. We need that colder weather to get the fish active again and start going into the fall pattern. So I'm happy about that. We just don't need the extensive high up to the 80s again or mid-70s, and then within 2 nights dropping down 8 degrees again. So that does hurt. Right now, the fall pattern's coming along just about right on time. The water temperature is getting where it should be. Like I said, we just need some other cooperation. Maybe hit a few majors and minors during the course of the day helps out too, folks.
You know, the ironic thing about fishing is it's wonderful to be on a boat with shorts and short sleeve shirts, enjoying that sunshine and warm weather. But if you want to catch fish, you got to be in layers because that fall bite is unbelievable.
It is. It was chilly this morning. I had 3 layers on. Right now I'm down to 2 and everything, which is nice. But the fall bite's just going to keep getting better and better, like you said, Kevin. Dress warm, folks, when you go out on the fall bite. Wear plenty of layers. You can always take them off. You know, if you don't go out there with them and it gets colder, you got nothing else to put on. So keep that one in mind. But the fall bite's starting to pick up. Sucker minnows are starting to get some action. Like I said, Kevin, we just need some cooperation with Mother Nature and the wind.
I know you're going after big fish, both the muskies and northerns, but what are you seeing from the bass anglers and the walleye anglers right now?
Well, right now, the smallmouth bass action has picked up a little bit, Kevin. They're still fishing like Ned Riggs and everything, anywhere from 18 to 26 feet of water. It's been a deeper water bite this time of year because of the thermocline. The smallmouth love the cooler water temperatures as well. But then again, we, like I said this morning on the weed bed we're fishing, we've seen 3 or 4, maybe possibly 5 smallmouth surface, and that's a weed bed that tops off at 12 feet. So that gives you an idea. They're all over the place. The ones that are more active biting, though, Kevin, are the deeper smallmouth on the deeper structure than the shallow ones. Largemouth bass is starting to go a little bit better. Look for the pencil weeds, which are bulrushes near deep cabbage weeds, dropping off anywhere from 8 to 14 feet of water. You're going to have more action with the largemouth bass. Northern pike, while we're chasing them right now, along with the muskies, you know how that's going. Walleye, though, on the other hand, is still doing pretty good. Mud flats, sandbars have been the key. Fish the tops of the sandbars and mud flats early in the morning. Lindy rigs with leeches, 10-foot snails to 12-foot snails have been doing well. Bottom bouncer with crawlers are still doing well, Kevin, as well as one of my favorite, you know, if you have people that have a hard time catching on to lindy rigging or bottom bouncing, soak a leech underneath a bobber, fish no more than 4 inches off the bottom of Mille Lacs Lake, and hang on. You know, we've had some half-day trips, you know, where we're getting 40, 50, 60 hits. That's hard to beat.
Yeah, it is. So we had some rain here, pretty good dosing of rain over a week or so. Then it's been quiet again. Have you seen any change at all in water levels? Has rain down there helped at all?
You know, Kevin, that's a great question. Looking at all that torrential rain we had a few days ago or last week was incredible. Right now, we're still touching bottom at just about every public landing we go to. The water temperature helped for about 3-4 days as far as a couple inches, but now we're back down to what we were, with the drought and everything. In fact, maybe a little bit less water temperatures. We need a lot more water. We need a lot more torrential rain. On the other hand, it's sort of hard for people to fish in, but right now, I would say let's get a couple of nights of torrential rain and get that lake at least up a few inches would help.
Okay. Well, I know that, again, the deeper we get into fall, the better the musky bite gets for sure. If you can handle the weather at late October into November, as long as it doesn't freeze up, that can be really, really potent. And so people should maybe think about a late fall trip, right?
Oh, definitely. Think about a late fall trip. I'm totally booked, but I have a gentleman that helps me guide with the overflow. He's a great fisherman as well, you know. I got him going to the point where I feel very confident. He's been taking a lot of trips for me this year. Give us a call. We'll line you up with Connor. He's a great fisherman. I'm totally booked. You know, if I get a cancellation, that's fantastic. But wish I could help out now. All the advertisement, Kevin, you've been giving me this summer and this early fall. If anybody wants a trip, how do we get a hold of you? It's paid off. I'm booked, but we got Connor to take you out, folks, and he's good.
All right. Very good. I'm glad to hear it's working for you. Radio works, people. Radio works.
It certainly does.
All right, Stephen. Then, of course, it's not that long, and all of a sudden it's going to be ice fishing season, and of course there's some great pike opportunities during ice fishing season.
Oh, definitely. You know, early ice, you know, I got to be honest with you, folks. It's probably some of the funnest pike fishing you'll have with tip-ups, but let's play it safe. Make sure you have a pair of picks around your neck. Make sure you have a flotation cushion with you or plus a life jacket. I also carry 50 feet of rope early in the season with a good-sized stick on it and everything in case you got to toss it. So be prepared for the worst, and hopefully you don't have to worry about nothing but the best and the fun of catching fish. But early ice is good. It's also dangerous. Please be careful and have fun.
We're a ways away from that, so if we're going to go out fishing this weekend, overall view, not necessarily Mille Lacs specific, what should we be bringing with us, and where should we be starting our journey?
Well, it all depends what you're after. You know, like if you're after northern pike, you know, the northern pike are coming back into the shallows to put on the feed bag. I would be out there with sucker minnows. I'd be out there with fatheads and maybe go with a single hook for a stationary presentation or a quick strike rig. Fish the weeds, the edge of the weeds, Kevin. If you're after panfish, same thing. Fish the bulrushes with the cabbage patches nearby and with a nice depth of 8 feet, it drops off to about 12 feet. Wherever you're going to find bulrushes and cabbage, you're going to find panfish. Work in the bass, work a little deeper, you know, work it a little bit slower. That's the key. Don't be in a hurry this time of year, you know, and enjoy and reap the benefits because it's going to happen.
Okay. You noted that you're pretty booked for the fall. I know you do a lot of ice fishing. Do you guide in the winter as well?
I do. I do a little bit. If you're interested in getting out, folks, for some good northern pike fishing, give me a call. Be happy to get you out there with some tip-ups and everything and see what we can happen.
How can people get a hold of you?
Give me a call. Go on my website. Check out my home phone, 320-253-7535. I have a landline. And then please check out my cell phone number, 320-333-2941.
And most likely, if you call that number, you'll get them at the office, otherwise known as Lake Mille Lacs.
Exactly. Catch me at the office. Be happy to talk with you.
Hey, Steve, thanks for the time as always, and good luck for the rest of the weekend.
Hey, my pleasure, Kevin. Thank you so much, and you have a great weekend too, my friend.